Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Monday, December 10th, 2018. It is hard to believe it is already December 10th. 2 weeks from tonight is Christmas Eve, and of course, the day after Christmas Day. And to be honest with you, I think that season is going by a little quick for my liking. Especially being that this is the longest it's going to be for 11 years. Because, for example, in 2024, the next year where the calendar would be like this, unfortunately, that's a leap year, so that means it resets to a late Thanksgiving. And Donna, as you know, I am not a big fan of that at all. Remember? Because to me, folks, it's all about extend it. Where other people are thinking, push it back, stop the holiday creep, don't let it go before Thanksgiving. To that I say, well, if you want to complain about it being too early for Thanksgiving, why not move Thanksgiving a week early? Because then you guys won't have as much of a reason to complain. But it is what it is. But I am so happy to have you folks with me tonight. Now, the leadership conference went very well. A preacher's room. Pastor has wanted a nice big preacher's room that he'd be able to hold all the fivefold ministers in during the conference so that they could go back there and fellowship and that. And it's a $500,000 project to build a certain room for them. And it had been down to $90,000, but then Friday night they took an offering for it. All of that money came in. And that is a big miracle. On top of meeting the budget on the first night of the conference, which was a $45,000 budget. And so, was awesome. Pastor did a lot of storytelling this week. Between Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, and Friday night. I streamed the mornings. I was there 2.5 of the nights. It was very good, very profound. Dr. Mize spoke yesterday morning about having authority. God has given us authority. And he told us about how he had like 60 youth with him. He had been placed under arrest, not the kids but him, in a country down in Central America. And then he got taken to a certain place. He was told he was going to be deported. And then this lady calls, this guy calls this lady in the holding room where Dr. Mize was. And you can just hear her say, yeah. And then they said, Brother Mize, you may go. And I want to share with you a little nugget that Dr. Mize said. The first part of faith, step of faith, is obedience. You've got to be obedient. You've got to be obedient. You have to. Faith won't work if you're being disobedient. not going to. And also, we have authority. We have dominion. If American Christians use their authority, if more American, if more Christians ran for office in this country, we could be in a lot better place. We could be in so much of a better place than what we are right now. I mean, it could be night and day difference. Really could. But all in all, great conference. He talked about the armor of God a bit too. I couldn't find the book that talks about the armor of God. Ephesians, we're going to look at home when I get home tonight, because I was going to talk about the armor of God tonight, but so instead, when we open up the Bible in a few minutes, I'm instead going to talk about Jesus and Christmas. The first lesson on Christmas, I'm going to entitle Jesus and His Birth. Now, at some other time, we'll get into like, what are the five reasons? What did He come to this earth to do? Was it to destroy the works of the devil? Was that one of them? To save life, maybe? What were those reasons? And we're going to go through, we're going to learn together. Now, Dr. Barclay, usually at Living Word, he will teach three times at least in the course of a Christmas season on Christmas. However, he was not there yesterday. Dr. Flores spoke in the evening. Dr. Mai spoke in the morning. Thursday night, I don't believe he'll be there. Sunday morning, I don't believe he will not be there Sunday morning. Sunday night, I don't know if they're going to do the kids' Christmas or what, or if they're even going to do it this year. And then the 20th, we have another guest speaker. And then the 23rd, she'll teach on it in the morning, but then on the 23rd at night, we don't have church. So, if you're from Living Word folk, I'd invite more of them to come to me, because I am going to teach on Christmas when Dr. Barclay can't. So, other than that, folks, if you're wondering what did I have for McMonday, Monday is when I come to McDonald's, I eat some stuff, and I tell you what I had. I had the chicken McNuggets. I don't know what it is about the McNuggets at McDonald's around this time of the year that it brings up memories to me of Christmases past. There's something about McNuggets, other than maybe the fries. I can't think of any other savory item that McDonald's has that doesn't remind me more of Christmas. You can't either, can you? There's something about them that really reminds you of Christmas, doesn't it? And as to why, you don't know, do you? We may never know. There's just something about it. I wonder if there was a a Christmas commercial back in the 80s or something that portrayed someone eating nuggets at McDonald's? Wasn't there, from what you were told, maybe, from what you remember? You weren't alive in the 80s, but you feel like there was a certain ad or something in the 90s or something, maybe? Or was it a Happy Meal commercial, maybe, that portrayed someone eating McNuggets at Christmas?
I don't know. I don't remember much commercials.
And then, unfortunately, McDonald's really scaled back their advertising to kids that don't contain well-being messages. Quite honestly, that was a bad news move by McDonald's and some of those other companies who did that. It really was bad. Don't you think that was bad, Donut?
Yeah.
Because it's like you're asking for parents to helicopter. It's like you're asking for more and more helicopter parenting, which I think is a very bad idea. Very bad. It's like you're sissifying our children. And eventually, it's got to stop. How are the kids going to learn? They got to learn right and wrong. And even that's why, folks, that's why your kids need to go to church, so they can learn right from wrong through God. But there's more to it than that. As for the weekend, I did go to two different malls Saturday. I ended up at Saginaw, and then yesterday at Saginaw. Very good job showing up. Very busy Saturday, and want to encourage you folks, if you can find what you're looking for in stores, go get it at the store, because when you just go buy it all online, look, I get it if you don't have the store nearby, but generally what will happen is I think you can blame a lot of these department store closings that you're seeing on people thinking they can just get it all online. Now, I know you got Target and Walmart and that too, TJ Maxx, Burlington, Outlet. But then there's also an online push, online shift. Even though they do say 13% of shopping is done online, it's only 13% right now at the holidays, but it's growing every single year. So when you have all these closed storefronts, eventually, if not taken care of, it can lead to blight, can't it? It's one reason to support actually going to the store. Or it's good, you know, if you do the click and collect, because, or you order it online. But say you got to go do the Target run. They've actually trademarked the term Target run. You saw that, right?
I did not actually see that yet.
But they've been using that for months, though, you know, that much.
Yeah.
So we'll say there's a certain thing you're looking for that might not be in your local Target, but you can get it at target.com, per se. And then you go do your Target run, whether you do the drive-up thing like they have, or you go in the store to get it. Stores like it if you do that more so than if you just order it online, because then it makes you more up to realize that maybe there's a couple more things you need that you forgot you needed. And then you realize, oh yeah, right here, I'll get it. Where online shopping, the amount of impulse buys on online shopping is cut way, way, way back, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the impulse buys are almost eliminated, aren't they? So that's kind of why stores do not like the online very well. I mean, yeah, Target has the online stuff and that, you know, but it's not the same as being in their store. Meijer, Walmart. I just speak for Target right this second because that one is in my local mall. Oh, hello there, Ray. I understand you're listening from down there in Alabama. And my prayer is that you're being used by God and that you just keep up what God has called you to. I am going to move on. Got a lot of things I want to get to yet. So, first of all, before I give the number and the website, I'm going to give a plan. All right. We did our monologue. And I gave you that little nugget from Dr. Mize. Talked about the leadership. I'm going to give you the number in just a second. Then, after all that, we're going to sing a Christmas carol. And then we're going to pray. And then we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Matthew 2, where we're going to look at the birth of Jesus tonight. No, Luke 2. The birth of Jesus. And that'll be our course of study and exhortation tonight. Then after that, I'll exhort you about it, and we will do a quick prayer, and then after that, we'll get into sports, talking a little bit of basketball, and then getting to that crazy NFL circus. And that was basically a circus yesterday. All those teams that lost that shouldn't have. It seemed like you were at like the Ringling Brothers circus. Because you've heard of Ringling Brothers, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because Shrine's not national. Ringling was.
Right.
So, but I'd be like, here are the elephants. Here, this one has two heads, weighs 4,000 pounds. And all that circus noise. That's what happened in the NFL yesterday, folks. Mm-hmm. Only, folks, I didn't pick any of the crazy circus stuff, except for one of the games, the Rams game. But then, we got that. And who ended up winning the Heisman Trophy? Well, I'm going to tell you in our football segment later on. First, folks, listeners, I want to encourage you. Word of mouth or sharing it on Facebook, it was really word of mouth. I think nowadays, because now it involves Facebook, Twitter, and that, it should really be called spread the word advertising, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
So spread the word advertising is some of the best advertising that can be done. By you getting on your Facebook, getting on your Twitter, seeing someone at work, maybe someone you're running to maybe at the cash register or something at the store. Hey, Merry Christmas. Oh, by the way, there's this great online radio show I'd like you to take a listen to. Yeah, they talk about sports. They talk about God. They read the Word of God. Right now they're singing Christmas carols two times in a show. And it's an awesome show. You should check it out. It's called The Miracle Man Show. It's on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights from 6:30. And we go till close to 8 o'clock. We have it set to go to 8 o'clock is when the time runs out, but we generally get close to it. And so, yeah, check it out. And I'll say, what's the website? You go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word. You'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. After that, you'll see a link that says Live and Large. After you click on that link, you'll see a little bubble that says Miracle Man. I want you to click on that bubble. Then you'll see a follow button. I really, 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 really want you to hit that follow button. Because then you're going to get a great big Christmas gift present, also known as a gold ring. No, you're not going to get that. But you will get something else that's pretty cool. A notification. You'll start getting notifications when our show, next show is going to be. For example, tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to do another live show right here where I'm sitting at this McDonald's. And then Wednesday night of this week, we don't have the conference or anything, so it'll be very normal. Okay? And I want to let you guys know, it is a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea to listen to it on your smartphone. Every time. We have a telephone number as well where you can call in and be a part that way. You can go live. Talk to me about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's not politics. We can pray together. You can thank me. You can criticize me. You can send prayer requests. Even Christmas carol requests. If you got a Christmas carol you want me to sing, let me know what it is. And by the way, I don't care if I sang it last show. If you want to hear it, I'll do it. And it's just awesome. You can call back. You can call the number. That number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1. When you hear the prompt that says to press 1, go ahead and press 1. And then you'll go through the call screener and then Jenny, my assistant, will answer the phone, and then she'll let me know we got a caller. And then I'm going to say, go ahead. And then I'll say hi to you, and I'll ask, you know, what say you here on the Miracle Man Show this evening? And then you'll have the floor, and you'll be able to speak. And we can talk together. And hopefully we'll get some great calls. And that's how you can be a part of the show. So remember, website, blogtalkradio.com. Follow the steps. Phone number, 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. Press 1. Call screener. Jenny. Me. And you. By you, I meant, you know, you get to talk. Now, our first Christmas carol of the evening, which is, by the way, Away in the Manger tonight. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down where he lay his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, as I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Farewell, the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with you there. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he laid. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. All right. Later on, we'll be having another classic Christmas carol. Heavenly Father, let me tell you first what we're doing. First, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful listeners who have decided to join me this evening, wherever they are, whatever device they're listening on. Also, I thank you for your birthday. Thank you that you were born on this earth, that you're not a baby anymore. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I thank you that these listeners who might be baby Christians will understand that Christmas is really about you, God. It's not about all the gifts. It's not about the food. It's about you, your birth. Thank you that these people have hearts to receive from you tonight, that the anointing will go forth. Lord, and I confess over this program right now, finances come to this program, new equipment comes to this program, partners who want to help me come to this program, and increases in listenership come to this program. And most importantly, souls upon souls upon souls upon souls come to this program to give their life to you. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Luke chapter 2. Woo! Praise God. Luke 2. And for your notes, the title of this lesson, Jesus and his birth. Luke 2. Luke 1 is a very long chapter. We're going to do that over the course of two lessons. Because Elizabeth and Mary, you know, are critical parts of the story of the birth of Jesus. I'm just finding my spot. Then we're going to begin reading. By the way, I want to encourage you to just follow along, folks. I'm just closing that up a little bit. Just want to remove that so I have my bearings. Here we are in Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register. Oh, by the way, that meant that they went there to the cash register to go buy their Christmas gifts, right?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. No, no, they didn't. Went to his own town to register. No, this was not Christmas shopping, by the way. Verse 4. So Jesus also went up. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. They were engaged, as we say, and she was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger. Because there was no room for them at the Motel 6 because they were having a blogging convention. Wait a minute, does it say that? Oh, they were having a donut convention.
That's amazing. I like that.
Oh, I wish. And they placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, period. Now we're getting into shepherds and wise men. Verse 8 now. And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Hallelujah. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. The shepherds said to them, "But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart." The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Verse 21 now. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been born. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves, two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for them what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul as well." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, with the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, we are going to finish this chapter. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. They were unaware of it, thinking he was still in their company. They traveled on for a day. Oh, by the way, how can parents of today do that? Oh, by the way, that's called neglect of a child if you think your kid's with you and they're not. How could they do that? How can you just think, oh, by the way, my son's right here with me, and travel on for a day? How can you do that? Okay. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. They didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Amen. Amen. That is awesome stuff. You see, folks, that's what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of Jesus. Now, in Matthew and in Isaiah, it talks about what Jesus came to do. It says, "He shall be given the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's right, he'll save them from their sins. And that's what he came. So, one thing we should be celebrating when you think about Christmas is not just that he was born, but that he saved our soul. If Jesus didn't come, to this earth, if he didn't save our souls, guess what? We'd all be going to hell. Yeah, we would. We really would. And so you say, folks, you're thinking, oh, he was just wrapped in swaddling clothes. Other parents have wrapped their kids in swaddling clothes. How is the swaddling clothes have to do with? And by the way, what about all this other stuff? Star. What about all this other stuff? We're going to look at that as we go through later on. And other chapters where it talks about the story of Jesus. Yes, we are going to look at Luke 1 at another time. Yes, it will be within the next 2 weeks. And it was prophesied, as we saw in Luke 2, that he was destined for great things. It also said that he would, you know, that some people wouldn't like him. Oh, they were right. Unfortunately, there are people, and even in this great country, who don't like Jesus at all. Folks, in fact, I discovered something today. The Puritans, the Pilgrims in 1620 that came to America, they weren't for Christmas. They didn't like it. I have a question.
Excuse me.
How can somebody claim, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in celebrating Christmas at all? I don't like it. That's almost like saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't like that he was born. That is so twisted, don't you think? So, you know, that would almost be like saying, I'm your mom, but I'm not glad you were born. So that'd be like the hat, basically, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's basically what you're doing when you do that. You claim to be a Christian. You should at least acknowledge that he was born. And you can choose whether to celebrate it or not to celebrate it. I say it's to each his own. But you know, for about 20 years back in the colonial days, it was actually illegal to celebrate Christmas in Boston. Illegal. Illegal to celebrate Christmas in Boston. Not until the mid-1800s was it considered actually fashionable to celebrate Christmas in Boston. Think about that. And so you think about the manger. You think about swaddling clothes and all that stuff, the manger, no woman at the end. Yes, I teased about it being that there was no room for him at the hotel But that was, by the way, a joke to see whether or not you listeners were listening to me. But you see, he was born lying in a manger. Now, some people may look and may question, so when was Jesus exactly born? What day of the year? Well, the reason we celebrate it on December 25th is because there was some belief in like the second century that he was born on March 25th. Conceived on March 25th. And so when you look at a 9-month pregnancy, if it goes completely exactly on point right to the date, then yes, it should be December 25th. But it is very common. I would say, would you think at least half the time the baby comes out exactly 9 months later, exactly, or would you say not quite, that it's very often a couple of days early or late? Would you say more often than not it's either a few days early or a few days late?
Probably.
It can go either way, really.
Yeah,
sure. So you would say, I would say it goes a lot of all. I would say generally about a third on either side. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, folks, that means only a 33% chance, if that, that he would have actually been born on December 25th, if that belief was actually true, that he was born on March 25th. So I'm not saying that that the guy's right or wrong, but it's a belief. Jews will say that he was born in, like, October. There's another belief that says he was born in January. But in this culture, we've decided it's December 25th. And so that's been the day that's been set aside for us to celebrate Christmas. So he might have not been born on December 25th, but that's the day. As we go through this, we're going to get into some of the stuff he did for us. We're going to talk about Mary some. And oh, those wise men. They were awesome. And they played a very big part in this big event, the birth of Jesus. Because it's a very important time for us Christians. Is it more important than Easter? I wouldn't care if I was a pastor. I'd refuse to sit down and say that either one was more important than the other. And even if one is more important than the other, it's only slightly so. Because both are very important. They both have significant implications on us as Christians. Let me just look at my clock here. Let me just see how my time's doing. Okay, so we got a few more minutes. So I guess I did a little bit better on time than I thought I did. Because I was kind of thinking, I got to go. I got to, you know, pray real quick, hurry over to sports if I want to do that song. But then I just looked at my clock and I'm like, no, I got a few more. I got 5, maybe 8 more minutes. Well, look at chapter 3, maybe. We'll just take a little look at it. Just to kind of see. Actually, no. We'll look at 1 a little bit. We won't look at that song yet.
Raymond would like to expound on the importance of Jesus' birth.
All right. Importance of Jesus' birth. When Jesus was born on the cross, I mean, when he was born on this earth, it gave us a new life as Christians. It represented, you know, that he was born on this earth, and it was destined. It was determined by prophets who had talked to Mary and Joseph, to Mary in chapter 1. Jesus would do great things, that Jesus would do miracles. Which he has done. He continues to do them. That's part of why we have the song, Mary, Did You Know? Which I'm going to sing for you guys on the show tomorrow night. I've already decided tomorrow night on the show I'm going to sing Mary, Did You Know? I am. And he was born on the earth to do miracles, to save life, to destroy the works of the devil. Three of the biggest things that he came on this earth to do. As we go through the next couple of weeks, I'm going to expound on all this. Dr. Barclay taught this in a lesson last year, in a sermon he did last year at church, like a week before Christmas. He came. By the way, I am also, in the next couple weeks, going to explain a couple things about the candy cane, the Christmas tree, and other things. What is the spiritual significance behind them? Because you look at the candy cane, you look at the Christmas tree, you look at some of this other stuff, there is spiritual significance behind it. Even Santa Claus, folks. Santa Claus. The guy in a suit. He's not. Well, yeah, the one of today is, but originally was a man named Saint Nick, and I will get to that between now and either next Wednesday or by Wednesday the 26th. Now, next Monday, I have a party, so there will be probably a live broadcast from that party, but it'll be a lot more chaotic and music, maybe some sports, maybe a little bit of who's there, thanking you guys, maybe a call for salvation. As far as preaching that night, I don't know. But I will be talking again tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, I think we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to keep looking at, and we're going to look at Mary, Joseph, Jesus. We're going to keep delving into it. As I said tonight, it is a powerful time. And Dr. Barclay says he's not a big fan of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's not, you know, he's not huge into Frosty and that, even though he does kind of like all that. Me? I love all of it. I used to struggle when people would ask me the question, what's your favorite time of year, Christmas or summer? And I would say Christmas, to be honest with you, even though it's super cold this time of year, unlike summer. Because all the music and the decorations and that, it is about my Jesus being born, because I know my Jesus. I love my Jesus very much. And if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you can give your life to him wherever you sit right now. You got to decide in your mind, I'm not my own anymore. I understand. You were born on this earth. You ministered on this earth. And you died on the cross for my sin. And through you, Jesus, I don't have to live for myself any longer. You have to be able to come to that place and decide that you need Jesus. Because let me tell you something. We're in the last of the last days. We are. And let me tell you something. The trumpet's going to blow soon. How soon? The Bible says we will not know the day or the hour that the Lord will come. And it's going to catch you off guard. And to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior personally. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So, but I love every one of you. I really do. And I really want to see you make heaven. And so we're going to pray real quick. And we're going to move on into the last few moments of our evening together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great season. Yes, all the lights, all the decorations, the snow up here in Michigan. I don't think my brother has any snow where he's at. All the decorations. Hey, lucky ducky. I'm talking about Christmas, the snow and stuff, but I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to pray. I'm going to start that again. I'm sorry. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, Lord, for this Christmas season. Yes, the decorations, the lights, everything else is pretty. But the reason we do this all, celebration of you, because Christmas time, Lord, that Christ, that's about you. The Mass and that period of celebration, Lord God. And I give praise and honor and glory to you all the time that you were born on this earth to save our soul. And I pray that these people would understand the true meaning of this season. Not only that, but also what it means truly to be a Christian and to serve you, my Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I was taking a sip of my delicious Coca-Cola, by the way, best soft drink in the world. But now, sports. Last night, the Pistons suffered a 115-108 loss to the New Orleans Pelicans. By the way, that is the 11th time out of 12 that they've been, that they've had to go play in New Orleans, that they've lost. So the Pistons have work to do down there in New Orleans. I don't know why they're having such a hard time there when they got to go to New Orleans and play. But I know the Western teams tend to score more points than the Eastern teams, but they got to be able to match them if they want to win, or at least get their defense to where they can hold those Western teams under 100. Because let me tell you, those scores out West can get pretty high. You've seen that. You've heard that, Vaughn, haven't you? Those scores out West in the NBA tend to get higher than the scores over here. You've heard that, haven't you?
Yes. Raymond would like to go live with you.
Okay, so I understand that we got a caller that wants to go live with me. It's my brother. Hey, bro.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, bro. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's great to have you here on the Miracle Man this evening.
It's great to be on. I actually have to jump off of here. I'm actually sitting at McDonald's down here in Jasper. And I have to get off of here and head back to the house, but I just wanted to call in and tell you that I really enjoyed the show tonight.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, no problem,
yes,
buddy.
Yes, I will be covering the Lions and that in a minute, but I'm going to finish basketball first before I go to football.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm going to jump off here. I just wanted to call in and let you know that I was listening and I love the show and I love you and miss you, bud.
Thank you so much, bro.
No problem. I'll talk to you later, okay, buddy?
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Good night. Yep. It's always great when we have those awesome callers like that who call in. So it's always awesome that God's using him down there in Alabama, and he's doing great things. Maybe sometime he'll be at a Jack's, a good burger place I understand they have in Alabama, or maybe a cookout if they have one in Jasper. or maybe place a different fast food place that they might just have in Alabama. And maybe we could have my brother tell us live what all they got. We'll have to see. But let me just check my clock and just see where we are. No.
42.
Okay, we're at 42, but I think we can move through this somewhat fast and still have time to get in our other Christmas carol. But I want to say thank you, folks, for letting me preach. And that was bearing my heart with you, folks. But now, as I was saying about the basketball, it is true that out west they tend to score more points. And if the Pistons want to be successful in the league and have a winning record, they're going to have to beat some of those western teams. Even some of the good ones. Yes, they beat the Warriors, but they'll have to win some more games like that. Beat Houston. Beat the Spurs. Beat to see them beat the Lakers. Beat the Thunder. Rather than get stomped by the Thunder, pounded. So, in college basketball action, you had Gonzaga falling to number one ranked Gonzaga, losing to number seven ranked Tennessee Volunteers. So just of note, the number one team defeated. Okay. Now, speaking of college sports, let's go to college football first. Heisman. Of course, the three finalists with the most votes were all quarterbacks. All three of them. Kyler Murray, quarterback of Oklahoma. The quarterback of Alabama, which I forgot his name, but then you had Dwayne Haskins, quarterback of Ohio State. Who got it? Kyler Murray, quarterback of Oklahoma. He made some very good key plays for the Sooners. They made the college football playoff. I'm not saying that making the college football playoff is why Murray got the Heisman. Could that be a factor? Maybe. But it's not a guarantee. It really is not a guarantee. Because character and a lot of other things go into who gets the Heisman Trophy. Character is a lot of it. And I think of Tim Tebow, for example, who won it back in, like, 2007. By the way, he was a great quarterback at Florida. And he was a man of great, godly, Christian character. And if I had children, and they were asking me, they say to me as, like, 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, who's that great quarterback you always talk about? I like him. He was off, you know, that 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 25 years ago or whatever. Someone had those kids. Who is that guy? And I was like, oh, Tim Tebow. Oh, yeah? Like, yeah, I was looking up some stuff about him, and I love that guy. And I want some posters of him on my wall. Can I have them? Oh, yeah. Awesome guy. Great biblical example. I mean, no, he wasn't in the Bible, but he had verses on one of his shirts, I believe, or something. Remember that?
A little bit. Not much, though.
But he had some of that stuff, and he was a great guy. He I don't think he ever had run-ins with the law or anything like that. Very good guy. And not only was he godly, he was a very good quarterback as well. One of the best, in my mind. One of the very best. And so I'd say, yeah, you can have that. And there's a lot of great things that go into being a Heisman Trophy winner. So, let's go to the Ringling Brothers NFL Circus that took place this weekend. Thursday night, you had the Titans totally shellacking. They totally shellacked the Jags 30-6. It was not close at all. Titans are only two games back. Maybe one now. Also, other side of AFC South, you had that winning streak. Houston had that 9-game winning streak that Houston had. Snapped. Gone. They lost 24-21 in Houston. Colts beat them. Colts had a big streak going to their own, 5 games, lost to the Jags, 6-0. And then they get right, and then, oh, well, I slipped, I fell, or all the other teams slip and fall sometimes. They get right back up, go to work, 24-21, they win. Houston tried coming back, got close, but wasn't able to finish it. 24-21. The score there. Dolphins with an improbable win over Miami, 34-33, over the Patriots. Raiders won yesterday. Big surprise there. Niners won. Huge surprise there. As the Steelers lost another game. Yes. You had the Browns beat the Panthers. Wait a minute, what? I said the Browns beat the Panthers. The Panthers were looking like one of America's best. It's looking like America's daddy team or something like that, you could say. Doing so good. Looking like they got all the goods. I got all the candy. I got all the stuff. Not so much. They've been losing a lot lately. Right now, that America's team right now is looking like the Cowboys. As they get another come from behind, they get another win. This time it's a come from behind, and they beat the Eagles yesterday in Philly. Now, those other games, the ones I picked for yesterday, Lions over the Cardinals. 17-3. Pretty good job by them. Stafford did not throw for 100 yards, even though they won. That's the lowest amount of yards he's thrown for in a win. Yes, there was a pick six, a 70-yard one that the Lions scored off of. That was good. That was great. Great lift. We needed that. I was at church when that happened, so I hope somehow, some way on YouTube, I'll be able to rewatch the whole game. Then I might be able to get back on you guys on it. But Lions, 5-8. They'll have to win all of their remaining 3 games if they want to be considered. They won't win their division because the Bears took down the Rams last night. the Bears took down the Ram truck 15-6. Yep, I was saying Dodge lost to Bears Towing.
Isn't it VARS or something like that, Bears Towing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, Dodge lost. It got towed. They lost 15-6 in Chicago. By the way, I said Tennessee would win. They did. Detroit would win. Yep. I also said that Chicago would win. Yep. I was actually surprised that I actually got that one right. I decided it's in Chicago. Soldier Field is noisy. Soldier Field is hard for defenses to play in. So, you know that. So, that's why I picked the Bears. Unsure whether or not that would actually happen. I got that right. Tonight, Vikings in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. And I had said for tonight, Tony Hawk, 26, Age of the Vikings, 20. And I'm sticking to that. That's what I think it's going to be. So what am I at right now? My record for this weekend, 3-0. And if I get a win tonight, then this will be the second time this year that I had a perfect weekend. I don't think I had any last year, maybe one. But look, that's hard to have two perfect ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
But especially being some of the times, so that's crazy that you can have as much of a circus weekend as the NFL did. But when it came to the games I picked, I still get them right. The chance of that happening when that kind of a circus isn't all that much. But a lot of people would have probably picked against me with that Rams game last night, I'm sure. Most of them would have. Huh. With that, folks, let me just see. So, I'll be able to sing Rudolph if I start right now. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you drive my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down history. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you shine, guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, yippee! Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Now, folks, if for some reason you don't tune into the show before Christmas, you have a Merry Christmas. And to everyone else, until tomorrow, God first, God always. So long, everybody.